Good morning, SP. Welcome to EMP today. My name is Christina Tang from Princeton House Church. Today I'll be sharing at the early morning prayer, and let me open us up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, help me sow seeds in good soil. Lord, I ask that you give me the discernment as to how I spend my time. Help me not to be hard or shallow in my response to you, or expose myself in a position to be swallowed up by worldly desire. In Jesus' name, we pray. Now, let us look at a video today. And today, the passage is on Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 20.
Again he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold.
Let me share the devotion from the One App today. There is a difference between owned faith and inherited faith. As a parent of teens, my desire is that my children will continue to develop their own faith, a lifetime faith in Jesus that will enable them to sustain the challenges of life. In today's text, Jesus speaks in the language of a gardener. Jesus reminds us of the importance of sowing, watering, and nourishing seeds of faith. If you have ever gardened, you know that not all seeds that are planted grow or bear fruit. Nevertheless, we need to be intentional gardeners, intentional in sowing, nourishing, and caring for the seeds of faith. God, the Master Gardener, wants to use us in his garden. We pray for the Lord of the harvest that the seeds planted will bear much fruit. The other passage from today is from Romans chapter 3, verse 9 to 20. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all, for we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Today they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Today's passage is so powerful. Jesus have used plants as representation today in the parables. And as I reflected on the Bible and these verses, I felt very excited because God has actually always used plants throughout the Bible to represent and to tell us about faith. So I personally think that God really loves gardening and he really loves growing things. And for example, from Exodus 23:19, when he teaches us about tithing, he shared, "You shall bring the very first of the first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord your God." And in John 15, verse 1, chapter 1, the famous verses, it says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." This parable today from Mark, I think, is quite different from the other verses. And what brings, I think, my attention is that Jesus brings, what draws my attention is that I think Jesus draws our attention to the very beginning of the life stage of a plant, the stage of sowing and the stage of the germination from the seed. Jesus plays also very much emphasis in the types of soil and then and the importance of the root of the plant. So because of that, I've looked into how a plant grow at its first stage. And I realized that actually the root is the first to be developed when a seed germinates. And according to biologists, the root have three main functions. The first is quite obvious. The first is that the root is used to absorb water and the dissolved minerals and conduction of these water and minerals to the stem, and they send it up to the rest of the plants. The second and the third is also obvious, but sometimes overlooked. The second is that the root is also used as an anchor of the plant. So when wind comes or when floods come, the plant remains anchored in the soil instead of being toppled or washed away. And during typhoon in Hong Kong, this becomes very obvious. Big tall trees topple, and then we see that the roots maybe are rotten or the roots are not able to support itself against the wind. The third is also not as obvious. The third is that the root also serves as a food reserve. So it's obvious in plants like carrots or sweet potatoes. That's where all the nutrients are also reserved for the plants. And so I think personally, reflecting on this passage, to me it speaks a lot because roots are very important, especially when things get hard. In the passage, it talks about when the scorching sun comes out, which is the affliction or persecution arises because of the word. The roots, which is deep, are what continues to anchor us and provide us with the food reserve. If our roots are deep enough, it can tap water into the food storage and stay alive. And if our roots are deep enough, whatever the bird, in the parable, it talks about the bird, which is Satan, took away from the top of the soil, he also cannot take away whatever is in the root system because it's protected, it's also hidden in the soil. And when our roots are deep and wide enough, when the thorns aim to choke us, like the desires of the world or the deceitfulness of the world, we also remain strong in our core and reach new areas where the thorns cannot reach. While the leaves, the branches, and the fruits are visible in plain view to the outside world, the roots are what is hidden inside the soil. And I think that maybe the plant itself, which is us, and God knows how deep or healthy our roots are. So I think that's kind of my first reflection, is that while the fruit is visible to the outside world and people around us plainly sees it, it is our root system, which is the anchor of the plant, which is invisible to the outside world. But that is something that anchors us in the midst of hardships and challenges. And our root is known between Jesus, God, and us. Aside from the root, I also feel like God very particularly draws our attention to four different types of soil. The first one is beside the road. The second is the rocky place. The third is among the thorns. And the fourth is good soil. So if we take a random chance of where the seed will land, there's only one out of four chances for the seed to plant to land in good soil. And in Romans 3:10, the passage today, it also says, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away, and they have together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. If I leave it to chance, if I leave it to myself, the chance is stacked against me. I think Paul points out very explicitly, no one is righteous, not even one. So when I read this passage, I was like, oh, so what can we do? But I think Jesus has already told us the answer in the parable. The great news is that Jesus has further explained in the parable that the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, which is Jesus himself. The field is the world, and as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. He has shared in Matthew 38. So how awesome it is that Jesus is our personal gardener, and we have this ultimate gardener who has the perfect knowledge of what we need, the right amount of nutrients, sunlight, water. He cares for us, he nourishes us, and not only that, he fights for us. So he protects us from the thorns, he protects us from the birds, and he brings us into his shelter. In Luke chapter 13, verse 9, Jesus said, "What the kingdom of God like? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." In today's passage, it also says, others like seeds sown on good soil. When they hear the word, they accept it and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. And as I reflected on this passage, this really blows my mind, because when Jesus talks about the crop of 30, 60, 100 times, I think what Jesus is saying here is the seed is the word, and Jesus is the word. So when he sowed the seeds, he is actually giving us this special privilege to be kind of like Jesus, to sow seeds, to bear fruits, like crops, 30, 60, 100 times. The seed is the word, and Jesus is the word. From John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." So as the word lands in our life, it is like the seed landing in the soil. It grows and bears much fruits. And inside the fruits are seeds, right? So when the seeds are sown, these seeds then go on to create more seeds, more fruit. So I think what Jesus is also calling us in the second part of this parable is that Jesus has given us this special privilege to also sow seeds as we bear fruit. to continue to repeat this cycle to bring about more sons of the kingdom to this world. So we ought to go out and sow the word of God. And as we receive the words and are nourished by God to bear fruits, we can bring out more sons in the kingdom. Plants are living things like our faith grow. So when I recently experienced a personal story, I experienced the amazing thing about plants and roots. What I realized is that actually trees and plants also talk to each other. From biologists, they mentioned that root of trees actually communicate with each other through fungi system. And trees also support younger seedlings by sending nutrients over to their surrounding nutrients. And so in a personal experience recently, I was very blessed because I have received so much prayers from my brothers and sisters. I am an entrepreneur, so I have been running a business. And recently, one of my right-hand guy, actually the tech lead guy of our company, resigned. He has been with us for about 6 years. I've known him for a long time. And when he resigned, I was quite devastated. And I still remember that evening, I have to serve in a prayer ministry. And I just go into the prayer ministry feeling quite defeated. And then throughout the evening, as we minister to a sister in Christ, I can see the fruit of God, like of how this plants, this whole root and plant system works. And so as I was serving, I actually received so much truth in God. And I walked into the evening quite defeated, and I walked out feeling so much joy and so much a celebration, because I realized that my trust should not be in myself or in my team member even, like no matter how important he is, my trust should be in God, and he is my anchor. And so I gained strength, and I was able to continue to move on. And I think the challenges continue to be there. You know, we continue have to recruit, train talents, bring up talents. But I think what I realize is that I don't need to be afraid. I don't need to be shaken by the continuous changes in this world. And I can just really focus in God and draw my strength from God instead of being swayed every day by the changes in the business environment or in my personal life. So as we prepare for our upcoming worship time, I think God is really trying to reveal to us today where our anchors are, where and how are our root system. Have we focusing in the top layer, in the fruits, or have we been strong? Like, have we been trying to grow deeper in God? And are there areas in our root system where our growth is a little bit stunted? Like, are there areas where God is calling us to repair our root and to go deeper in him? And the second thing is as Jesus has nurtured us, are we being an active sower of his kingdom? Are we nurturing and sowing and nourishing younger seedlings around us to bring up more sons in the kingdom? So let us invite our worship leader today, Sam, to share with us and just worship God and reflect on how God is trying to anchor us in his kingdom.
Desire.
Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for families in our society, for fathers and mothers and children. Please draw families closer together. Give us the will to make adequate time to spend with each other and to foster these relationships. Help us make family life a priority. In Jesus' name, we pray. And now let's move on to our community prayer time. Let's first pray for our community who are suffering from cancer and who are undergoing chemo, radiation, therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for full healing. let's move on to pray for also salvation for our community members. Let's also pray for infirmities which our community members are suffering. Let's pray for them to tap into Jesus' power, and let's pray for full healing in Jesus' name. Let's also pray for our community members who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for doors to open, and let's pray that they don't only find their jobs, but they find a platform where they can really extend the talents that God gives them, that they bring glory to God through their occupation. Let's pray for our mission of SP. Let's pray for Singapore, SP Singapore, Peace and King. Let's pray for our Indonesia ministry, Pastor Salaman. Let's pray for SP Philippines, Pastor Ernie. Let's also pray for our educational ministry, SP Kids, Mary and Lisa, SP Youth, Donald, and SP Youth. Andrew. Let's also pray for our IP, our prayer and healing ministry led by Matt, and the well ministry by Sarah, and River by Rachel. And let's also pray for our evening outreach, SP Lights, and our house church, which are meeting today, East Bay, Mark Robinson, Olympic, Robin Hood. Let's also pray for our city, Hong Kong. Let's pray for continuous protection against the spread of the virus. Let's pray that businesses and schools can resume to their fullness very soon. So let's pray that as we resume, Father God, that we also do not forget about the quiet time, about the fact that we can grow deeper, Father God, in you, and that our well-being doesn't come only from the external environment, but our well-being comes from knowing you. So let's pray for our city, that our city really plant and grow deep into knowing you and anchor ourselves in the kingdom of God. Let me close us in prayer today. Father God, thank you so much for the parable of the sower. And thank you, Jesus, that you are the sower. You are the personal gardener of this kingdom of God. And you are this personal sower of our faith and our relationship with you, Father God. And thank you so much that you have not only given us individual system, but you have actually planted us beneath the soil, this root system, which are interconnected, and that we can sense our support to our brothers and our sisters, and that you also call us to nurture our brother and our sister, the younger siblings. So I pray, Father God, that this parable today and whatever that you have spoken to us during EMP today will take roots, and it will go deep, Father God, as anchor of our faith, our relationship with you, Father God. So no matter how the external environment changes, with the scorching sun or persecutions, our root system will continue to nourish us, and that we don't only survive, but we thrive, and that we bring you glory, Father God, through our faith, and through Jesus, your word in us and bearing fruit. So I just pray for our brothers and our sisters in this EMP today, that they experience this true, deep nourishment from good soil, Father God, and that we bear much fruit and we bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Have a great rest of the personal prayer time. Thank you. Goodbye.